You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM.
Finally, bump music I can embrace today.
I love Al Green. He's like my third favorite.
No doubt, right? Al Green would probably be on like the top of my mental health list.
That's why I just wanted to hear his sounds.
Right there at the top of that list is Charmaine Robertson, who works for Crossing Healthcare as the behavioral health supervisor. You know, I was reading your bio, Charmaine. The only downside of this today is I have to talk to you by phone and I can't see you in person because I love you. This is a tough time for people, and you have worked with people aged 3 to 73. And as we look at this pandemic and as we look at how this is impacting people and this social isolation, it's impacting everybody across the board. So I'm going to be general and specific with you today. But first and foremost, how concerned are you about the mental health of folks right now going through this?
Sure. Brian, thanks so much for having me as always. I think that we have to be mindful and concerned for the mental health of just society at large as we're sort of going through this pandemic together. Essentially, what happens is we're altering life as we know it, right? And this is sort of impacting everyone. And so even in terms of going to therapy services, those services may be altered some where you might sort of not meeting with your therapist or counselor face-to-face, potentially doing more virtual therapy or some phone consultations or things to that nature. But I think an important part of that is noting that it's still very, very, very important to stay connected, even if that connection is altered to a certain extent.
And the good news on that side is we have the ability to do that. You know, when people were going through the Great Depression, you know, or World War II, you couldn't Skype, you couldn't, you know, we have that ability to still communicate. But Charmaine, in my lifetime, and people that are older than me, their lifetime, this invisible enemy, you know, it's not something we can stand up to like we did after 9/11, you know, fear for your job, fear for your life, your health, your child's health, your grandparents' health. I mean, this is unique. And so isolation, let's start with young people. Schools are out, right? They're at home. How important is it for parents to maintain some sort of structure? You know, where, and I know that the school districts are doing online learning and packets of learning, but what should you be thinking about with your kids?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, especially for parents and the impact that has on parents and children. You know, sort of once the maybe for kiddos, once excitement sort of wears off that, all right, we're home, now what? What does this mean for us? And so it is really important, I think, to sort of balance maintaining some sort of structure, whether that is kind of still having lunch at the same time as they normally would in school or, you know, having nap time or rest time or downtime, things to that nature. But I think there's also it's also important to identify, you know, parents sort of being at home and maybe having a host of stressors going on right now, not sort of limiting to just their kiddo being at home, but also what does their employment status look like. And so really that time might be to come together and read a book. I know some parents are choosing a homeschool, and that's certainly an option, but sometimes that might just be pausing for a second, acknowledging that this is stressful, also stressful on kids, because we sort of have to, as adults, we're able to kind of make more sense of things and understand a bit better. And this is even overwhelming and confusing for us. And so I think that being mindful to allow kids to express their feelings, their thoughts, what they maybe saw on TV or the news. And in addition to that, kind of limiting how much intake we have with the news and the media to a certain extent, being okay to walk away when that becomes too overwhelming. And then sort of getting creative with other things. And so
absolutely. I've read, this is kind of the advice I'm following a little bit, even from a media side, is, you know, pick a couple of places like the CDC or the Illinois Department of Public Health or NADICAID or whatever it might be that you can trust. Right. Yeah. And then kind of check out on all the rest of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that more. Really, I mean, it's important to pick sites like the CDC, for an example, who's the leading national public health expert, picking sites that you can trust so that we're not sort of caught up with all of the myths and misconceptions, and then it further exacerbates fears and sort of anxiety and worry. And then kind of taking what you can, but then being okay with walking away from that. And then when you feel like you kind of need to be informed again because things are so rapidly changing, stepping back into the arena and being informed and then sort of walking away and taking a break again.
Yeah, we're even having these conversations in our own house, Charmaine, about, you know, because we've got to do all this 24/7. But how important is it? I don't care if you're a senior citizen or you're a third grader or you're a millennial or a Gen X. You know, you're at home. You're stuck at home. This is the new normal. How important is it to get up, take a shower, shave, get dressed? You know, these things in life that we've done, the structure, how important is it to try to recreate that at your home level?
I would say that's extremely important. So we, human beings, we actually like structure. We like routine. It kind of keeps us on a track and sort of a predictable trajectory. When we think about what we can and cannot control, there's a whole host of things that are sort of outside of our control. But then at some point we have to, you know, sort of pause and identify what is inside of our control. So I can still get up, I can still shower, I can still have my morning coffee, I can still sort of do these routine things. I would also add that for our folks who might struggle with symptoms or features of depression or anxiety or things to that nature, you know, we want to be mindful to kind of not slip down the slippery slope of kind of those behaviors or that lack of motivation. And then we kind of, you know, we can mask it with this kind of pandemic that we're going through. So we want to be mindful to still engage in our routine to at least sort of bring some sense of normalcy to our lives and to our children's lives and families' lives, things to that nature. Focusing sort of on what we can control.
Yep. Diet and exercise, also a big thing. You know, the depressing thing to me, Charmaine Robertson from Crossing Healthcare, their behavioral health supervisor and has done this and treated people from 3 to 73, and we're all going through this together. But as people were, like, sharing empty shelves, pictures at the grocery store, what they weren't showing is the outside of the grocery store, all of the healthy food was there.
Right.
You know, people go to this comfort stuff, and they overeat. They overconsume, they don't exercise. You know, these things are still very important, not only for your immune system, but for your mental health.
It's very, very true. It's what you just said. It's comfort food, right? And so when we have so many things outside of our control, oftentimes people go to overeating, or we're kind of, you know, we lean towards the things that make us feel better because that's just what happens. That releases more endorphins for us. Having said that, you're right. We need to be mindful that health is wealth, right? So we still do need to engage in eating fruits and vegetables, maybe even now more than ever, but this should sort of be a routine for us. And, you know, consulting with your medical providers or dietitians related to supplements and things to that nature. But it's really important to try to stay well, and that's cold and flu season, period. That's just in general, but especially now. And so, again, when there's things that we're kind of struggling with, you know, should I eat this versus this? Again, having those consultations with your dietitian or medical providers. And again, the CDC has really, really great resources online as well. So going to trusted sources and focusing, again, on what you can do.
All right. My own mother, you know, I've been checking on my parents, you know, trying to stay away, you know, all the things that we're advised to do. But she made note of, you know, how grateful she was for FaceTime, you know, because she can still, you know, interact with her grandkids. You know, that's important, right? Use the technology. We have it. You can still do face-to-face time, but do it in a safe way.
Right. So, yeah, the term that social distancing doesn't have to equal social isolation. So we have to get a little creative, maybe, but we can do that. So FaceTiming and kind of staying connected in that way. I don't know. Some people might be interested in writing a letter, for an example.
What's that?
Over the phone, or just staying connected to in some sort of way. There's also resources, and I know we'll talk more about them. But there's a host of resources through SAMHSA. They have a disaster distress helpline, and I'll give that number. And that's 1-800-985-5990. There's also a text line through SAMHSA now, and it's called Talk With Us. Talk With Us. So you text Talk With Us to 66746. There's the traditional crisis text line. Again, those are both 24/7 resources. The crisis text line is 741-741. But then we also have to be mindful of our folks who are in recovery, right? And so maybe their NA or AA meeting has been canceled, or you know, maybe they've moved to a virtual platform. There's something, there's a resource called Unity Recovery, and this was given to me by my CEO, Tanya. And so there's digital recovery meetings 7 days a week, offered. Initially, it was about four times a day. Now it's five times a day. So in Central Standard Time, it's offered at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., and 7 p.m. And you just Google Unity Recovery. It's just Unity, U-N-I-T-Y, recovery.org.
Okay, and then let me back up and ask you, the SAMHSA, what is that? What does that stand for?
Yeah, so SAMHSA is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Organization. And so they're sort of a governing body as well. And so SAMHSA is it's a great resource for providers who are providing substance use services. And SAMHSA is coming out with resources for folks so that if we need to go to a meeting or stay connected or connect with a peer recovery support specialist, they have resources there.
Absolutely. All right, listen, we're going to be calling on you quite a bit, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks, and we really appreciate you joining us and being here to share this. The last thing I want to ask you today before we get done with this is the impact of social media. There's so much out there that's false and misleading and gossip, and people who tend to want to turn a blind eye to facts. What's your advice, best advice, on the social media consumption?
To limit your social media consumption. And so, again, I think sometimes we have to have, you know, some folks just, they get on social media and that's fine. That's a part of their routine. And so when we talk about kind of maintaining some sort of normalcy or routine, that's okay. But again, sort of being mindful of how much we digest, right? Knowing your limitations and knowing that it's important to balance. And so I've kind of noted, like, when we have that overactive stress response system, and we're kind of getting information after information or so, where we are, our brains and bodies are kind of turned to be on alert, 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 danger, danger. So we want that to happen to protect ourselves when necessary. But then when it becomes overactive and we're taking in too much information and we're struggling with how to process that or what to do with this information, we can become overwhelmed, increased agitation, irritability, wanting to isolate more, heightened worries and concerns. And so it's really important to be able to take a break, to balance. There's lots of resources or even apps, you know, journaling online or anxiety-reducing related apps. Watching a movie, right, being able to disconnect. And I don't mean like the kind of the scary movies that's going to
perpetuate. Right, that's crazy, right? Because like I think like number two on Netflix now is Outbreak. I don't get that.
No, not those. I mean, you know, they're going to sort of perpetuate the fears. But kind of being able to take a break, you know, watch the Mr. Rogers or something, and then just have a moment to step back in when you need to be, you know, kind of step back into the arena to be informed, do so. But feeling okay with taking a break when necessary as well.
Charmaine, you're the best. Thank you very much for being
with us
today.
Thank you so much,
Brian. All right, Charmaine Robertson. She is a literally behavioral health supervisor for Crossing Healthcare. I'm so, I feel like we're so blessed by our health professionals in this community.
You're not wrong, and it keeps just getting magnified.
We've just seen this all this week. You know, Drew Early, the CEO of Decatur Memorial Hospital, with us yesterday. They're doing an unbelievable job. Michael Hicks was just with us from HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, CEO, Tanya, Charmaine, all of these resources that we have in this community. I feel like you should feel fortunate that we have this kind of leadership. Now, they're not the ones. I mean, the heroes are those frontline people in the emergency rooms. But if you don't have calm at the top and you don't have vision at the top and you don't have measured pace of, okay, here's how we're going to get through this, you can have a disaster.
Yeah, I also want to say that
a disaster within the existing disaster.
Yeah, I would also like to say the way that I feel about our healthcare right now is that it is under one roof right now.
It
feels like it's just Decatur's healthcare.
Kudos to them.
Yeah, it's not three different companies or brands fighting or any of that. It's what can we do?